Ready?
All right, welcome in On Texas Football. It's our rapid reactions from the spring game. My name is Jerry Hamilton, joined by Rod Babers. Bobby Burton will join us here in about 10 minutes. CJ Vogel will join us later in the show. Rod, let's start with this. Your takeaways. I'm not asking number 16 yet. Oh, what are your takeaways in general?
So many. First of all, it was a hell of a competitive spring game.
Yes.
Jerry, when was the last time we saw a spring game competitive like that come down to a Hail Mary at the end? That was fun to watch. It really was, and I'll give Sark a lot of credit. That goes to what Sark's talking about, right? He wants competitors on his team. He talks about that being something that a trait that he recruits in players specifically. I think you saw it come to fruition, materialize on the field. Obviously, the biggest, I think, headline is the quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this. We knew Arch was going to be pretty damn good. We didn't know he was going to be that good, though.
No.
I mean, 19 Rod,
you started multiple years at Texas. You were drafted, and you played in the league at corner. What did you see from Arch today that was so impressive?
Oh.
But other than the stats, wow. Which our producer Matt will put up. There you go, 19 of 25, 355, three touchdowns, the interception on the Hail Mary at the end. I thought every pass was catchable. The touchdown Isaiah Bond dropped, I thought was the best pass of the day.
It was really impressive.
What did you see at the NFL corner?
So many things. His efficiency, number one, right? Efficiency. He's so efficient. Whether you're talking about his movements in the pocket, we're talking about getting the ball out on time, with the rhythm and the timing of the offense, his anticipatory ability to kind of the anticipatory throws. I thought that was good. The touch that he has on the football is also, I mean, it's next level. There's so many different things you can throw out there about him, and that's why he looks so impressive. And I was really impressed just with his overall mastery of the offense. He looked like he'd been playing in that damn offense for three years. Yeah. I mean, he looked like the three-year veteran. He looked like the three-year starter at Texas. And nothing against Quinn. I mean, we can get into that later, but he looked like the starter that had been there for 3 years. That's wild to think, but when you saw him, he just looked his poise in the pocket, his command of the offense, the mastery of it. It just didn't look like he was uncomfortable at all.
You'll go back through the tape, Ron. You'll have it broke down later this week. There were multiple second, third progression throws, too. That was the thing with Arch. And when he got flushed out of the pocket, he didn't. He was under control to get the ball out and keeping plays alive, given the time, right?
Yeah, and Sark was worried. Remember, Sark remarked in the media availability that he was running a lot in practice, or at least he implied he was running a lot. I think we saw him run, once? I mean, twice. He was in the pocket, and you're right, when he did extend the play, it wasn't necessarily run, but he was running to throw, extending the play so he can look downfield. I was really impressed. I thought he would look good. I did not think he'd look that good. Guys, he looks like he could be the starter at Texas. I think Texas has two starters. I think they got two of them. I think Arch can be the starter, and I would not feel as a Longhorn fan, I wouldn't feel anxiety about that at all. I wouldn't freak out about that at all. And I think Quinn, of course, 3 year starter for Texas, he's earned that. So if something happens, and I hope it doesn't, Quinn's got to prove he can be durable the entire season. And he has missed some games since the time he's been here at Texas as a starter. Hasn't started a full season of football since his sophomore season. So if something happens, I'm knocking on wood. But here, even at Texas, there have been seven seasons in the last, 25 where a quarterback has started and finished every game. So the chances are that we're going to need Arch at one point to step up. And right now, I feel really good about that. If that happens, I hope it doesn't. But if it does, I feel really good about it.
But a couple of things. First, Rod can wear that SEC hat with pride now. A couple other things. Bobby Burton's going to join us in a few minutes. I'm starting this off hosting for Bobby. And then after Bobby gets here, I'm going to go get on some recruiting stuff. But it was more than the art show, okay? Trey Owens, really good first performance at Longhorn. Jordan Washington, hope he's okay. Really good first performance as a Longhorn at tight end. He shows what the future can be. Colton Vosick, Rod's going to get a lot of mention.
Whoa.
Look, if that's a healthy Colton Vosick,
whoa,
Texas has another legitimate edge player in the rotation.
I totally agree. I got that in my notes right now. Right there at the top. I don't know if y'all can see it. Boom, right there at the top. Colton Bossett. Got it right there. Just wrote it down because I'm with you. He is a dude. 817, Mr. Talk Too Much. I'm with you. Did not expect that. So now add that to that already talented depth you got on the edges there. Baron Sorrell wasn't available today because he's a proven commodity. They know what he is. You got Ethan Burke made a play, right? He's the reason Alfred Collins gets the pick six at the beginning of the game because that's Ethan Burke's in there. Boom, you know, making plays in the backfield. We all know Trey Moore is going to also be an impact guy. The edges for Texas could be potentially the entire strength of the defense, actually.
And Trey Moore didn't play today that I saw. Did you see Trey Moore again?
I did not. I got to go back and look at the film. I don't remember.
I don't think Trey Moore played today. By the way, look, I mean, Ryan Wingo, we talked about it. Most talented receiver Texas has recruited since Roy Williams. That's quite a first impression to make on about 40,000 fans.
Yeah, and we've heard he's been doing things like that in practice already. This is a young man who's still in the infancy of his development. I mean, he's not even a refined route runner yet, guys. He doesn't really know the offense yet. He's not really that familiar with it, just got here. Those are plays he's making just off raw ability, and you saw it. Freakish raw ability, the combination of traits you get with him, the speed, the size, catch radius, body control. I mean, it is indeed something special. And I said, I don't know how you keep him out of the receiver rotation. I don't know how you don't throw him in. I mean, that to me as a coach, you see that he's a prodigy. That is with prodigies, you always, you know, you skip them ahead of grade, right? You put them on the accelerated track. This is a young man you probably put on the accelerated track.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, there's a reason Steve Sarkisian personally recruited Ryan Wingo for over a year. Go all the way back to Ryan Wingo's first unofficial visit to Texas was Arch Manning's official visit weekend. He got Arch into that recruitment as part of that recruitment, absolutely part of that recruitment. But there's a reason. Through a coaching change, Sark personally recruited Ryan Wingo. He saw a different level receiver in Ryan Wingo. Texas doesn't go to Missouri very much to get wide receivers. Okay, just count how many in the history. That's how good Sark thinks Ryan Wingo was as a high school prospect, and now you're seeing it right now. Rod, I mean, look, there's some of the transfer receivers. By the way, I thought Savea showed well on the D-line today. I thought Savea showed up on the D-line. Look, Isaiah Bond had a couple drops early. He redeemed himself in the second half of the game, right? I mean, there's a lot of expectations there. Here's the thing about the receivers, and I'm going to continue to harp on this. And, Rod, I want you to go into this. This is not an easy scheme for wide receivers. No. It takes them time to get comfortable in this scheme. What Isaiah Bond is asked to do now and Matthew Golden's asked to do, nothing against the programs they were at. This is a much more complicated system for a wide receiver pre-snap to snap, right?
Yep, and in terms of the sophistication of it, there's no question. And Sark, he actually makes all of his receivers learn every position in his receiver rotation. You got to learn the X, the Z, you got to learn all the different spots because he wants those guys to be interchangeable, wants to be able to move them around in terms of the personnel and the formation they're going to be in. And that's part of earning his trust. If you don't do that, then you can't earn his trust. And then ultimately, he's got a lot of sight adjustments within his offense, especially when they're going against zone coverage. That's the pro style elements of the offense. So you know that about it. I mean, he works really hands-on with the receivers. So he knows in practice the guys that are picking up his offense and the guys who aren't picking up his offense. And I think that's probably why the circle of trust has been so tight. But there's no doubt he's going to expand it, man. These guys are talented. It's a talented group. Isaiah Bunn, the hands will be fine. But Matthew Golden, between him, between Ryan Wingo and what we saw, DeAndre Moore, you can't forget about him making plays early. I don't see how you have a tight rotation this season at wide receiver. I think you're going to see him expand it to five guys potentially. And Silas Bolden ain't even on campus yet.
Right. And by the way, some people are mentioning Alex January. He flashed today.
Look good.
January's got a bright future in front of him. Yes, Colin Simmons is going to be a problem off the edge, right? Rod, I want to talk to you about this, though. And I want to reset this on Texas Football Live spring game reactions. I'm Jerry Hamilton. This is Rod Babers. When Bobby Burton gets here in a few minutes, I'm going to pass it off to him, and I'm going to go chase some recruiting news if there is any behind. I think Riley Pettijohn, Texas fans, I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for Riley Pettijohn and Kelshawn Johnson right now. So good group of kids on campus. Rod, thoughts on the secondary? Because, look, I mean, some youth at safety showed up, right? Yeah. What were your general thoughts? I think the freshman corners, they're really challenged today. Kobe Black especially, what were your thoughts on the secondary?
I'm a little concerned about the secondary overall in the coverage in the pass defense. I mean, last season we know it was a liability, gave up a lot of deep plays later on in the season, and it seems like they picked up right where they left out, right against Oklahoma State, against Washington, gave up a lot of deep vertical routes down the field. Same thing today, gave up a lot of deep passes down the field. So I think the secondary is going to be a work in progress. My assumption was it was going to be a strength this year. I got to admit, from what I saw in the spring game, I'm not sure about that. I think some certain guys, I think Malik Muhammad, I think Derek Williams, I think certain guys in his secondary could be standouts. But as a group, as a unit, I'm still a little concerned. I mean, early on, coverage bust with Terrence Brooks on that early touchdown to DeAndre Moore. That was that should have been something that was easy. I mean, that's a switch release. They're playing cover three. I mean, that's something a veteran corner, you know, that's bad eyes. He's staring at one guy and not seeing the total picture. Secondary needs some work. I'll admit. I was off in my prediction. That would be a strength. That is not a strength right now for Texas. Something they got to work on. No question.
Yeah. And I still think I'll say this. I remain the same. I think safety is going to be the most improved position on the team. Maybe edge is an argument, but I think that also is because safety was questionable last year. And I do think Derek Williams is going to be a really good player. Year two, Makuba is going to be quality player there. Yep. See how the depth fills in. I mean, Phil Simi is a very talented player. Looked like a freshman a couple times today, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to happen, especially when you're recruiting this level of offensive talent and you have quarterbacks this level. I mean, Arch is going to get a lot of the headlines. Again, people are asking where I'm at. This is hilarious. We have 2,200 people watching right now. We'll be over 3,000. I'm in the Manor Garage on level 4. Don't come knocking on the windows. I'm not telling you what car, man. But I'm here. I'm pinch hitting for Bobby. He ran to where he's staying to get on the computer to do the post game. Bobby was in there with his horns up for the last 2 hours. So
yeah,
he was enjoying, as Rod said, the spring game. And what, Rod, to me made this spring game, before we get into more players, more positions, different. This looks like three straight top five recruiting classes in a really good quarterback room and a number of skill players that Texas has. And you can always, in games like this, you're always going to have, well, Isaiah Bond didn't have his best day. Well, okay. But when you have this much talent, at some point it's just like, okay, well, you know, Trey Owens looks better than most freshman quarterback would in this setting, right? That's the first time he walked out there and took the ball in front of 40,000 people. He hadn't played close to that at Cy Fair High School, right? There's nerves that come with that. But Texas has recruited at such a high level here for the last 3 years. This is what we should expect from our spring games, right? I mean, offensive fireworks.
There's no doubt. And that quarterback room, guys, impressive. I'm not going to say I called my shot, but in our pregame that we had out there at Victory Lap, and shout out to everybody who came out there at Victory Lap. We appreciate it. Great hanging out with you guys once again. But I said, Trey Owens will impress you. He said he is just impressive. The more you watch him, the more you see him, the more impressive he is. He's got great arm talent, number one. Got a beautiful deep ball, nice touch on the football, but it's his moxie. It's his confidence. Yep. We talked to him, Jerry. He's confident. He's confident, man. He's confident. And a guy that confident, you're going to be behind an Arch Manning and behind a Quinn Ewers, you're going to have to be that confident. And he's got that confidence in him, in his ability. And you saw it. You saw it shine through. And like I said, he's a competitor. A guy who goes out there and beats Katie. All right, you can't beat Katie. You have to be a starting quarterback in H-Town and beat Katie, man, unless you
– Yeah, that's right. That's right. Again, Bobby's about to join us, I believe. So you guys are going to break it down. Somebody's asking about the corner, Cormani McClain. I don't believe Texas has it. I don't think that's legit right now. We'll see what happens in these next portal windows. There's Bobby Burton joining us. So, Bobby, it was terrible quarterback play today, but what were your takeaways from the spring game? Any hope at quarterback for these Texas fans? I mean, it looks grim, Bobby.
I would say that, first of all, Arch Manning was a freak show. Yeah. That would be my – you know, and then Trey Owens has a future.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I mean – those are, you know, we talked about it going into this. Does Texas have the best quarterback room in the country? What do y'all think?
I got the best backup in the country.
Yep. What do y'all, I mean, seriously, what does Texas have the best? I think they do.
I do.
I mean, I look, I, not only was Arch Manning just impeccable timing, stood in there, made some throws. I mean, even some of the throws he made were drops. I mean, one of the best throws he made.
His best throw of the day was Isaiah Bond that dropped.
Yeah. Red zone. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so there's that. I mean, Ryan Wingo is a different level. Rod, I know, you know, he ran away from Kobe Black and ran away from Xavier Filsomee. Filsomee's not slow, guy. He runs 10-5. I mean, so Longhorns, Jordan Washington, I thought, for a tight end, a young tight end. What a catch.
Unbelievable.
I guess we went into this saying, and Rod and I this morning, Jerry, you missed it, but Rod and I this morning were asking, you know, you walk away from this, who's going to be the guy? And I think on offense, it was absolutely Arch Manning. No, Jonte Cook played well early. Ryan Wingo was that guy a little bit. But, I mean, somebody's mentioning Colton Vosick.
Yeah. Colton, healthy Vosick looks like, Texas has a key rotational player.
Yeah. A couple of news notes. So, Vernon Broughton, I believe, and I want to say this now, the reason he did not play today is because we believe he is getting married today.
Hey. So. can I just get my one-liner out of the way? He's not married to the game because there's a lot of weekends to tie the knot. And I don't think that went over well in the old Moncrief Newhouse. I'll say that.
that happened. Trey Moore did not play much.
No.
Trey Moore did not play much, if at all. I thought that they held him out on purpose. Colin Simmons got a lot of reps. Colton Vosick, I thought, played real well. Ty Anthony Smith, I thought, showed some late. Tia Savea.
Savea looked good, Bobby. Savea looked good. He's going to help.
Yeah, he's active, Jerry. Real and Rod, really, really active on the interior. Running back position, Jaden Blue in that catch over the middle.
Nice.
He snared that. I mean, that was and didn't really break stride when he did it. That would look special. Cedric Baxter took on all comers on that one ball on the outside. He was a little vicious. I thought all in all, I mean, there's 20 things we can probably talk about here over the next 30 minutes to an hour, but just tremendous stuff. A lot of what we were waiting to see. And then, of course, all topped off by Arch Manning, basically looking a little bit like he is a Manning, basically.
Yes.
I mean, because
that was one of my takeaways. I thought was Peyton and Eli are probably texting each other saying, "Damn, he looks pretty good."
I didn't hear what you had to say. What did you think? Because I talked to Jerry a little during the game. I wasn't able to talk to you.
Well, first of all, the quarterback room, I think, is where you start. I told the guys at the victory lap, I said, you're going to be impressed with Trey Owens. I'm just telling you, because the young man's got a lot of good, great qualities, actually, for a young quarterback. I think he showed some of that. And I believe you said that Arch Manning should be the MVP of this thing. We had that conversation. That's exactly what happened. I mean, Arch Manning, he looked efficient. He looks like he has mastery of the offense. I told Jerry, looks like he's the three-year starter. Looks like he's the guy that's been in Sark's offense for 3 years. He just looked that comfortable within the offense. And, yeah, the timing, the anticipatory ability for him to deliver the ball with accuracy, but also on time. He's just, he seems to have poise in the pocket, the efficiency in his game, whether it be in his movement in the pocket or whether it be him delivering the football on time. It's just very – very little wasted movement in his game, very little wasted mechanics overall with him. He's just so efficient. And he's a Manning, of course, machine-like in his efficiency, which you get in a Manning. So I think he was impressive, but the quarterbacks were so impressive that the wide receivers also, you saw the depth there. DeAndre Moore made plays. You saw Ryan Wingo, we talked about. Isaiah Bond, made some plays. Yeah, he had some drops, but the guy made some plays as well. I mean, they're deep there. Matthew Golden's another guy you throw out there. So a lot of things that we thought beforehand, I feel even better about. I feel even better about quarterback than I did. I feel good about it. I feel even better about those wide receivers than I did, and I like that group. The rush defense. I was a little surprised how well the rush defense played. You guys talked about Savea. I really like what I saw from the rush defense. The pass defense, if I'm going to come away with anything, we're not going to complain on this post game a lot because we're blessed. We got first world problems here in Texas. So we're not going to start complaining a lot. But as a member of DBU, I will admit, I thought the secondary was going to be a strength. I did not see very many signs in a spring game that it will be a strength coming up this season.
By the way,
they lost Jahdae Barron. Jahdae Barron was not playing today.
He didn't even play today. Exactly. By the way, some people are asking who picked off Arch at the end of the game on the Hail Mary. It was tip ball to Jelani McDonald. Zadiki Cornelson has the best comment of all. I thought Arch would struggle because he didn't go to camps. Yeah, he passed up Elite 11, drop him in the rankings. That looks really smart now, national analyst. I used to be one. I don't want to claim y'all today.
Hey, I want to say this. Good crowd today. Despite the weather, given that Rod, you and I were out there, Jerry, you had some recruiting stuff you were managing during this. The weather was overcast and it started drizzling a little bit, but it never really, the skies never opened up, good or bad. In other words, it didn't rain or get sunny. I mean, it kind of just stayed overcast all day. A little wind came in at the end, a little cool spell or whatever you want to call it. But I thought the crowd was fairly good size given what the weather report was saying, right? I mean, given that we were thinking, hey, this might be a gully washer and everybody's going to need to get out of there by 1 o'clock, and so I felt like a lot of people excited about Texas spring ball, and they should be. And I think that the kids put on a show to tell them why they should. Hey, let me ask you this.
Bobby, before I go, I got to get out of here in a second to get the recruiting stuff. But I wanted to say that this game's going to be dissected, right? But let's think about it this way real quick. And this is my parting shot. This was a 35-34 spring game with a lot of big plays, really good quarterback plays, freshmen making plays in front of 40,000 people. This was a great spring game for recruiting and Steve Sarkisian and their vision and now the reality in recruiting. This is what kids want to see. We live in an offensive world in sports. Go turn on any pro sport. The rules are made for offense. All you see is offensive highlights. This is an offensive world. This was a great showing for recruiting today. Make no mistake about it. You guys have a great show. I got to go chase these cats that are down here talking to Sark. I think Texas is in a really good spot with Riley Pettijohn. I think they're in a really good spot with Kelshawn Johnson. James Simon, I saw him, the running back from Calvary. I think Texas is a pretty good spot there. John Turntine, the top 2026 tackle in America, was here, as well as a 2026 offensive lineman from Midland High. I can't pronounce his name, but he's a stud too. A lot of talent on the 40. Guys, I hope y'all had a great day. Hook him, and we'll talk to y'all later this week.
Take care of yourself, Jerry. And by the way, you're talking about how that matters. Arch Manning taking picks after the game with recruits. he was a popular fella in this game. Really played very, very well. Rod, I knew you were going to be a little upset with the pass defense. I knew it. I watched a little bit. It looked like they lacked cohesiveness a little bit back there. And the rotation was a little heavy. Jelani McDonald got hit on a two-way go from Kai Woods on a run play, so he didn't fill the lane well. Who was it? Xavier Filsme got beat on a long touchdown pass. There were a couple different things back there. I will say this. I tried to pay attention to the safeties against Manning a little bit. And there were times when Andrew Makuba was back there. He's going to be, and you can't see. I was watching the whole field. So he's going to be a guy. I think he's going to step it up a little bit. There were times they were playing Williams and Makuba together. And I thought that was a good-looking duo on the back end. Jalen Gilbo did not have a lot of big plays, but I mean, dude, I'm telling you, Arch was dialing it up. And
he was.
You cannot play zone against that dude now. He had two-way go on the left side, saw zone, and it was out before. As soon as that tight end turned his hips, the ball was on him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was. If you dial that up in college, it's just that's really, really difficult to defend. I don't know how else to say that because. If Texas can get guys going, Isaiah Bond did not have, I'll ask you this on Isaiah Bond, Rod, zero catches in the first half.
Yeah.
Stark knowingly comes back and throws a little bubble screen to him to start the second half. And then he made a contested catch and then he catches the bomb. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, get him going.
It's almost like Sark knew he had a little bit of the yips right there. Needed a positive play.
Yeah, we've seen Sark. Sark used to do that with X-Men, though. And X-Men have like a bad stretch or start of a bad game. Sark like, no. I know I got to get you going. I'll force feed you. I'll give you a little easy one to get you going, get you in the groove, and then let your confidence take over from there. And Sark knows him as a player that maybe how he is. Maybe he's a streaky kind of player once he gets going, then things start rolling for him. I thought it was, in terms of the wide receivers, though, I think that goes with, we talked about the speed of this group and how they're a twitchy, explosive group of receivers. We know X-Man and A.D. Mitchell, they have their own, elite speed and height and obviously world-class speed in their own respect. But this time, overall, it seems like with DeAndre Moore and Matthew Golden and Ryan Wingo, and Isaiah Bond too, thrown in the mix there. And Jonte Cook, by the way. Jonte Cook, I thought, played pretty well. And with all those guys, it seems like they're going to be able to manufacture a lot of big plays, a lot of explosive plays down the field. And I do wonder, because it seems like Arch has a better natural deep ball, and so does Trey Owens maybe, even than Quinn. With Quinn out there, they'll still be able to manufacture some of those big explosive plays down the field rather than get them with yak yards, because it seems like that's what Sark wants to do. I mean, that's what they did in this game. It was some nice yak yardage plays downfield. So we'll see. I mean, I think it'll be interesting. But either way, Texas has first world problems, like I said, at every position except I would say the secondary. And I think they can work the secondary out. Hopefully the edge pressure that they're going to be able to create is going to be able to nullify some of the issues they're going to have potentially in the secondary.
It looked like a clean game too, from a safety perspective and health perspective. Jordan Washington limped off the field, but he was still under his own control. You don't think that's a knee. That looked more like an ankle and on the replay. He didn't reflex his knee. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
All in all, I mean, once the receivers started catching the ball,
it was on. It was on. Yeah.
I completely agree, because Arch was dialing it up. I feel a little bad for Quinn that he didn't get but two series. Clearly, they weren't ready to go a little bit. There was some discombobulation there. There was a missed block, I think, on that interception. But Texas has to be better at the start. Quinn has had plenty of all season. I'm not trying to start a quarterback controversy here, because I know.
No.
Yeah. Look, the media at large is going to do enough of that for us. And I will say that given what we saw from Arch Manning, there's going to be talk about it because he just killed it. But I want y'all to harken back to one thing. Where was this last year? Everybody thought Arch looked bad in the spring game, and Malik Murphy looked great, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that did they not?
Yep.
And so the spring game is a spring game for a reason. At the same time, I just felt like Arch Manning really just absolutely shined. Let's talk a little bit about those receivers. It was interesting because Ryan Wingo, for me, was the standout. And it was also clear that he wasn't running with the ones ever, by the way.
Okay.
So he was never with the ones. He's always with the twos or threes. Yet, it was clear Trey Owens, when he knew he needed something, mm-hmm. he already had decided pre-snap where he's going to football. And you, as well as I know, Rod, that kind of thing happens because he's seen it happen in a good way for him in practice before.
Yep.
And so what we saw, I think, a little bit was a continuation probably of what we've been talking about in practice with Ryan Wingo.
Yeah, and he's winning, like I said, he's winning these battles with a lot of just raw skill and ability. He doesn't know the offense that well. He can't. He just got here. And he is not necessarily a refined route runner yet either. We know that's something that he's working on as a young player. The sky's the limit for this young man. I mean, he's got tremendous ability. Like I said, he's got elite traits at wide receiver. We're talking about the speed or the catch. You saw the catch radius early on go snatch a football out of the air. That's what a veteran receiver does, to snatch the football out of the air like he did with his hand. So he's one of those guys. I think him and Arch Manning, I mean, that's a bright future in your passing game right there. Look at Arch, celebrity quarterback, man.
he's getting asked for all kinds of photos and videos.
getting mobbed out there, man. Look at him. Celebrity quarterback. It's you know what? He deserves it. He deserves it. It's a real deal, man. He's legit. He is the that young man is the real deal. The future's bright.
Yeah, he's got to be excited about today. He's got to be excited about today. Longhorn fans need to be excited about the future at quarterback.
Yeah, man.
Because I'm here to tell you, those guys look good. I was really impressed by Arch. I was really impressed by Trey Owens. If you didn't think Trey Owens had a strong arm, so of the three quarterbacks right now, Arch Manning doesn't have the strongest arm. Quinn Ewers doesn't have the strongest arm. It's Trey Owens.
Telling you.
Young freshman out of Houston, Cypress area, really looked good. I thought he looked good under pressure. Thought he got the ball out relatively quick for a young guy, Rod. It's very intriguing. Hey, let's listen to Steve Sarkisian right now. His very first comments in the press conference today.
I want to give a shout out to our fans. What an awesome turnout. That was, with weather kind of looming in the air, what it could look like to have the fans support the way that we had it today was just awesome. It was a great display of Longhorn Nation, much appreciative of them. I thought from the game perspective, probably the most exciting spring game I've ever been a part of. I've been doing this quite some time, but that was pretty entertaining on a lot of levels. And what I loved about it was, we played tackle football for over 100 plays and nobody got injured. And so much of I watch these spring games and people are playing two-hand touch and they're playing flag football. And, tough still matters, at least in Austin, Texas, it does. And our guys tackled, we played hard, we played tough. Some playmakers showed up tonight. Some young guys showed up today with some big plays. I thought it was a great experience for Arch and for Trey Owens to play football and for an extended amount of time at quarterback at this level. And they both did some really good things. A variety of receivers made plays. Jonte with a great catch, DeAndre Moore with a big touchdown, Ryan Wingo made some great plays, a big touchdown catch. And I thought it was good for Isaiah Bond. It's new. Sometimes it's new for people. And first time in DKR, might have been a little bit of jitters for him, but for him to come back and have that big touchdown there to give the White the lead was big. And so some other faces, Colt Vosick, it was great to have him playing the way he played. I think we could feel the presence of Colin Simmons coming off the edge. And so, that's just some things at first glance. Naturally, we had some guys, Quinn, just a few plays in there. Trey Moore, we kind of held him out. Jade held him out. Shut Alford down pretty quick, and then some of those linemen, Jake Majors, Kellen Banks, we shut down pretty early too. So, I think they might have played a half. So, all in all, pleased with just how the day went. Naturally, I'm going to go watch the tape, and then we got to dig into where each individual player can get better, and that's what next week is for. I'll have individual meetings, exit meetings with every player. They'll have exit meetings with their position coach, so that they know where they're at in the program and then what they need to do to work on in June and July to get themselves ready for August for training camp.
Great stuff there from Steve Sarkisian. Post-game, C.J. Vogel there in the press conference. He'll join us either later in this broadcast or later this afternoon for another wrap-up. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, Rod. Let's do this. Two or three big takeaways for you. Macro perspective, Rod, macro perspective. I know quarterback is obviously one of them, but give people what your thoughts are.
I guess we can. If we take quarterback out of it, let's say take quarterback out of it for the sake of the thought, this exercise, because that goes without saying that group was really, really impressive. I'll go with, I think you're deeper on the edge than we thought initially. What I saw from Colton Vosick looks unbelievable. I mean, he really does. He looks fantastic. Looks like he can be a guy that you could add to that rotation with a Trey Moore, and Colin Simmons. I mean, we've been hearing about Colin Simmons, though, so Colin Simmons didn't surprise anybody. We just want to get to see it for ourselves. Yes, Justin, he's going to be a beast. So Colin Simmons, Trey Moore, we didn't see much of. I think that's a good sign because the coaches already know what they have in them. So don't need to see a lot of them. I think that was a good sign. We didn't see a lot of Trey Moore. Baron Terrell, also proven commodity. He's out. Ethan Burke was part of the Alfred Collins interception to start the game because he was penetrating, made the big play, got his big paws up, and was able to tip the football. So, that edge position, that's promising. You haven't been this deep on edges or this talented on the edges since Sark has been there. Or for Texas, that matter of fact, in a long time, period, I think. I think that's good. The wide receivers, I'm more impressed than I thought I would be. I was really high on that group initially. I'm higher on them after watching them in the spring game as a unit overall. They got a lot of different guys that can be weapons. We knew about Isaiah Bond, but Ryan Wingo, it's hard for somebody to live up to the hype when they're getting a lot of hype, young people like that, and as a freshman coming in. He lived up to the hype. There's no question about it. So I think they're deep red wide receivers, so I'd be shocked if Sark didn't expand the circle of trust of the rotation of wide receivers this season. I'd be shocked if it's not four or five guys instead of three at like it's usually been.
I think you've got to force feed Ryan Wingo.
Hey, like,
do you agree with that, Rod? Like, he's good enough that you can't he's so good, you have to force feed him.
You got to accelerate. He's a prodigy, and you have to accelerate his development like you do with prodigies. So I'm with you. I don't see how you keep him out of the rotation now. That'd be absurd to me. And Sark ain't that kind of guy. Sark believes if you're good enough, you're old enough, period. He's proven that over time.
So. Yeah. What'd you think of the offensive line overall? They seemed to give Arch enough time to throw. Trey Owens was under a little bit of duress. Quinn Ewers had no time whatsoever, but of course that included Alfred Collins, Ethan Burke, and that crew. What did you think of O-line overall?
I thought the O-line pass protection-wise actually did better than I thought. My concern was a run blocking. I thought they'd be better run blocking overall, but maybe I am just underrating the rush defense and how stout they were. The assumption was last year that was all, obviously Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. I'm sure they were a big part of it, but maybe the scheme overall and now the development of some of those younger guys, they're still going to be a pretty stout rush defense. So, I want to see them I would like to see a bigger push up front from the offensive line in the run game. That's what I want to see more of. But I thought pass blocking wise, they gave the quarterback some time. Even I thought Quinn actually had, a little bit of time on some of those throws that he was that early on those first couple of drives. He was able to buy himself some time, create some space in the pocket. And when Trey Owens had time, and Arch didn't need any time. Arch was so damn efficient that it just with him. I mean, so he doesn't need necessarily a lot of time. But even a young Trey Owens, when he got time, man, he made him pay. So I think was actually pretty adequate in the spring game, the pass blocking from the O-line.
I wouldn't be playing. I'll put it this way: I would not play zone against Arch Manning. Rod, that's not the way, bro. You got it. You're going to have to play in the receiver's face.
And then the Texas receivers are going to win, right? Because that's why they have this really talented group of wide receivers. Then they're going to win and make it easy. I think if you're going to play zone, you have to do a great job of disguise. You have to do it. You got to be playing the zone that you're actually playing at the time cannot look anything like the zone that you're playing pre-snap. So you got to really disguise it well, and you got to move some pieces around pre and post snap. I think that's the only way that you maybe will get a young Manning to hold on to the football and go deeper into progressions. But by the way, I saw him go into the progressions. I saw him go to the second read and try to get deeper into the progressions. And you don't really get that from young quarterbacks, man. So he's just advanced. He is.
Gotcha. All right. We got some super chats I want to run through here. Hook 'em fellas from Beam. We were worried about the run D up front, but they look stout today. Completely agree with that comment. Here's one from Taylor Johnson. Quinn's quasi sidearm angle is always bothersome. Vince got away with it because he was tall. That may be a little true, but look, we can't overrate what happened to Quinn today. Only took two series, and everything was a little discombobulated at the time. Really had some pressure up the middle that caused that first interception. As Rod mentioned, Ethan Burke kind of blew that play up. Beats, I think it was Juan Davis to the point in the backfield. And That's all she wrote. Slick Rick said, nice meeting y'all at the victory lap. Hey, Bobby and Rod, appreciate all the hard work you do. Bobby, looks like he lost weight. Factor's paying off. Oh, wow. I don't know about that. I'm going to ask my wife about that one. Major Alexander, this is a good one. The Saints just started planning to get a first-round pick in 2 years.
A two-year tank? They can go for a two-year tank job? He might be worth it, honestly. The way he looked today, it might be worth it. We'll see.
We'll see. Hey, let me ask you what you thought of Colin Simmons, because he had a good initial showing, I thought. Rod? Looked very quick. I mean, he's definitely the quickest of the defensive ends, even though he's the youngest. I mean, he's just he's got a little bit, you can call it ball get off, but it's also it's closing speed too, right? It's like that. Yeah. It's like he looks just a little he's a little different. I thought Zena Umeozulu looked good too. What did you think of Colin Simmons though?
I mean, Colin Simmons is you can tell the speed off the edge for him, his first step is elite. And that's why, you know, that BGO, but also his natural bend coming around the edge. He's a guy that's also another guy you got to accelerate his development, I think. I think you've got some prodigies now on this roster. You have to put them on an accelerated path. Their rate of development is going to be pretty quick. And by midseason, kind of how, you know, Derek Williams was like this last season for you. Manny Muhammad got to be that point late. When you get these young guys who are essentially prodigies, you want to accelerate that development. And he's one of those guys that I think by midseason, he should be in your rotation for your defensive ends. I mean, pretty heavy in the rotation with those guys. So the edges right now, I mean, I probably any position that I'm more excited about than any other would probably right now be the edge position. We just haven't seen it. We've seen really talented wide receivers at Texas. I mean, Sark, you know, that group you just had last year, you're going to have a first and a second round pick, potentially two first round picks. We haven't seen the edges this deep and talented in a long time. It's been a while.
I think Colton and Trey Moore didn't even play, as Sark just said. Play.
Yeah.
And so that you add Colton Vosick, really, that may have been the revelation. Remember how we were talking about under the radar guys to watch for?
Yes, him.
Colton Vosick's name did not come up this morning, Rod. It
didn't.
It does now, though, doesn't it? I mean,
he's
just Bayesman name might come up a little bit. He had a good game as
he
well. Did.
He looks like a difference maker. He's like a guy that can be a difference maker for you in the interior. And like I said, that's our first look at him. But he's, I believe your word was active. He stands out. You can tell what in the run game and also as a pass rusher too. I thought he did pretty well. So I'm a fan of him. And you know, in the interior D line, I thought a young Alex January flashed. I like some of what I saw from him, man. He flashed too. And talking about guys from the interior D line.
I texted his dad when he made that big play. Hey. I was like, Mike, there you go, bud.
He was good, man.
He gave me the thumbs up back. He was excited. I'm sure the whole family was. There a couple of parents there that were excited. I mean, Ryan Wingo's mom was about 20, 25 rows down in front of us. She had to be excited about her son.
I'm sure she was losing it.
Yeah. They were all doing it. It's interesting because, you know, the spring game, the parents sit wherever. Like, usually during the season, they have to spit. They had to sit in a certain allotment where the team is, but they were all over the place. I saw a couple different parents. There's just a lot of stuff going on. It's a fun atmosphere if you were out there today. I really thought it was. A lot of people just milling about. You kind of got to sit where you wanted to. The weather was actually nice and comfortable for the most part. It was a little cold at the end. But I've been to some spring games at 95 degrees in the middle of April, and it was not that. I wasn't sweating today. So all in all, I thought it was a successful spring game. Steve Sarkisian, by the way, in his post-game press conference, called it a successful spring. And also said, Rod, that they don't, you know, they wanted it to be competitive today. Wow. They wanted it to be a tackle game, not a two below. As you've seen some guys play, make it look like it's the Pro Bowl or something out there. Texas played tackle football today. You like the direction of the program? We talked like we have all off season, but really this is the first time we got to see the whole thing. So where do you feel about that?
It is the most competitive spring game that I have ever seen. Even the ones that I took part in, they weren't that competitive. That But I think it goes to show you, we're talking about building up this roster, right, from top to bottom, start upgrading the roster, churning out the bottom of the roster, you know, talent acquisition cycle after talent acquisition cycle, when you're talking about the portal or recruiting or whatever. And, you know, the guys that are leaving now, you know, like I said, it all makes sense. You know, you got two guys who are hitting the transfer portal, the trickle of attrition that Texas is dealing with, right? Everybody's going to deal with it. Two guys at the edge position. Look at that edge position now. You're like, okay, yeah, I get it. And Billy Walton is a talented guy, and so is Jamon Tapp. But where's your path to play? Because right now they're deep there. On the offensive line, this is as deep as we've seen offensive line. Sark said they can go four teams deep potentially on the O-line. That's how deep they are on an offensive line. When he first got here, they didn't even have enough scholarship offensive linemen to have a spring game. So the direction of the program, I mean, it's a really – healthy program right now. And I think the reason the game was so competitive is because you do have so much talent, you know, all the way throughout it, all the way through the two deeps, you know, every scholarship guy, they do have so much talent all throughout the roster. I think that's why it was such a competitive spring game. Look at your quarterbacks. I mean, look at the running back room. They had Savion Redd was running with that last group. You know, you said Ryan Wingo didn't even take any first team snaps. That guy looks like a prodigy. It's been a while, probably mid 2000s since you've seen this much depth overall on the roster. Think about it, guys. Even late 2000s, you were really, really talented in terms of your skill positions, but your offensive line was starting to hit, you know, a low point in terms of the talent there, right? So you're deeper right now probably on O-line than you were late in the 2000s. But so that's why I said, that's why I think it's probably the deepest the roster has been since mid to early 2000s, when they were really, really deep at all positions. There were very few holes, if any, on the roster.
Rod, I want to come back and ask you specifically about the tight ends, okay? Yeah. So do me a favor and be thinking about Amari Nyblak, Gunnar Helm, Jordan Washington, Spencer Shannon, Will Randall, those guys, Juan Davis as well. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Adam Lowy, the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, automobile accident, or even an ATV injury and think you might be due compensation, give Adam and his team a shout. LowyLawFirm.com, 20 plus years experience in and around the state of Texas. Also, thank you to Mark Saunders, a local real estate agent here in Austin and Round Rock area, 512-218-8571. You're in good hands with Allstate. Mark Saunders, a Texas alum. He was out there Wednesday, by the way, get together at the Posse East. He sent me a text today as well during the game. Happy that he's been able to be with us. And then also Joe Brown, a veteran mortgage professional, 512-663-4744. Joe has got 35 plus years experience in mortgage broker in and around the city of Austin and the state of Texas. Just a tremendous guy to know. 512-663-4744. All right, Rod, tight ends. Gunnar Helm and Juan Davis started with the ones, but I'll tell you what, Amari Nyblak kind of inched in there and started getting a little time at the end of in the third quarter, fourth quarter, made a nice play on a screen. Manning hit him not on a nice tight turnaround. He made some extra yards. I don't know that they unleashed Amari Nyblak on Saturday afternoon, but I think you got a taste of what he can be.
Yeah. And he is. He's there are times when he was lined up outside when they had him split out where he looks like a wide receiver. He's got that frame, just kind of looks like a slender, tall wide receiver. And when he actually – when you see him, in his takeoff, he actually looks fast, like a guy that can be a vertical threat for you down the field. Hey, thank you, UT boy. Hey, Jonte Cook looked good. He looked good, man. He looked good. He did. I know you was excited. I thought about you, UT boy, when Jonte Cook was out there making plays. I do think Amari Nyblak's going to be a weapon for them. And I would love to go back when I go and chart the game, see how often he was split out and how often he was in line. Because it seemed to me most of the time he was flex. Or he was split out. And so I think you may have got a little sneak peek of how they want to use him. Sark does that with all of his tight ends. But I think specifically with him, you could see most of his reps flex are either split out because essentially he presents the even with the presentation of his frame and the threat because of his speed, he presents some of the same issues that a wide receiver would out there. And they put a linebacker on him or even the wrong safety on him, he can end up making some plays. But I they like Juan Davis. I like Jordan Washington from what I saw. He looked good. He went out there and made a couple of plays. I liked what I saw out of that young man. I know he had an issue at the end of the game, and then he had to limp off, ended up walking off. So I hope he's okay. But I like what I saw out of him. So tight end's a position I feel better about after the spring game. But I still would like to know how often Sark's going to use that 12 personnel package, how often the tight ends are going to be on the field, especially since now how deep they are at wide receiver. You see how deep they are. Guys, I think you could see them break out a 10 personnel package this year with four wide receivers on the field. But that would mean few. If any personnel grouping is going to take a hit, it would be 12, in my opinion.
Hey, Rod, mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. How many five wides did you see today?
Empty. They love the empty, baby.
Went to it with Arch in particular.
Yep.
On the regular. I will say this. What we didn't see, though, and to your point, you said it this morning, you doubt Steve Sarkisian shows his hand much in a spring game. We didn't see much 21 personnel with two running backs on the board on the field at the same time, almost exclusively 11 or 12 personnel for the Longhorn. So Sark held that card back, I think, a little bit, buddy.
I agree. He's a little bit, I think it was like the second or third series. It was a couple of plays, but then that was it. And then it was done. We didn't see it for the rest of the game. And I'm with you. I think that's one of the things that he's going to, because the way they think about the way they're using Jaden Blue, right? Even the way they had him running that angle route out of the backfield, they caught the touchdown on. And when they like to flex him out, they had him in the 21 personnel pack, essentially doing what Keelan Robinson did last year, start out split, and then he would be the jet motion guy. I think they gave you a little bit of a peek how they want to use him. Jaden Blue is going to be used as a threat in the passing game, even vertically down the field. And I think you're going to get Cedric Baxter as kind of the hammer in the run game. But, yeah, we didn't see much of that. We didn't see any big 11, big 12 package for that matter either. So mostly 11, mostly 12. But the empty, that may have been a little peak. I mean, I've been yelling for Sark to run more empty formations since he got here. The thing about it is Quinn, strangely enough, Quinn's not comfortable in empty. Now, traditionally, empty sets, people are like, man, empty, then pass protection is going to be an issue. Actually, pass protection, I've been tracking it since Tom Herman's last season here. An empty formation, the sack rates actually drop for Texas. All right? The sack rates drop in empty because you're getting the ball out so quick. It's really just tough. If you're going to blitz, then you know exactly where you're going if they're going to blitz. You got one-on-ones across the board. And if they don't blitz, it's usually still easier to get the ball out quick just because, you know, though you got five wide receivers out on routes. So the ball comes out quick, but with Quinn, it doesn't. Quinn holds on to the ball, strangely enough, out of empty. So some of the sack rates actually go up with Quinn out of empty. So Sark has curtailed his usage of it. But with Arch, because he's so efficient with the football, whether it be his footwork or just getting the ball out quickly on time, the empty formation could be lethal with the kind of personnel Texas is starting to recruit and they have on the roster. So that's the thing about Quinn. It's strange. Hopefully this year they're better at it. But, you know, Quinn, there are times he's been good at it. He was actually good in against Washington in the Alamo Bowl out of empty. There have been some times where it works for him. But for the most part, overall, I've been frustrated with it because he takes sacks out of empty, which is not supposed to happen. But with Arch, it may be the moneymaker.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Hey, I want to mention this. We had this question, and it bears repeating. None of the guys that had hit the portal were allowed to play today. So we did not see Jamon Tapp. We did not see Billy Walton that you mentioned earlier, Rod. We didn't see Samaje Burrell or Peyton Kirkland. All right, let's bring in CJ Vogel. He just left the press conference. Hey. He's still at DKR. How you doing, CJ?
Guys, how are we? I'm glad it was a fun wrap-up of the spring right there.
Hey, what did you think, man? I mean, I know. Tell us what Sark had to say. We haven't been able to watch all the presser. Tell us what the head coach had to say, some of the players, et cetera.
Yeah, Sarkisian, I really liked what he had to say today. Of course, not only did Texas stay relatively healthy throughout 100-plus plays, we also got to see a lot of the new playmakers. And that was something Sarkisian was really happy about, you know, that he quote, you know, the playmakers made plays. And it was hard for him to say that without cracking a smile. For those that watched the broadcast, you saw him, you know, cheesing a little bit. And you don't see that too often from Sarkisian in a situation like this. But again, when you saw Isaiah Bond make a big play, when you saw Ryan Wingo make big plays, Colton Vosick off the edge, I thought Colin Simmons was disruptive at times. Yeah. The guys that you expected to see make some big-time plays, they did today. And Sarkisian certainly made note of that and was certainly praiseworthy in that regard as well.
Well, big throw to DeAndre Moore. I mean, that was – look, here's Arch Manning's announcement to the world. Here I am. I'm going to throw it 70 to DeAndre Moore. Then Trey Owen says, let me try to top that, and throws a go route to Ryan Wingo. And then Arch Manning says, let me try to top that, and throws one to Isaiah Bond. The playmakers were indeed out. Jaden Blue made a whale of a catch and run as well. I mean, in that – and so – to your point, CJ, the playmaker, and to Steve Sarkisian's point, the playmakers were definitely out and about today in DKR. But man, what about the quarterbacks? Sark had to have a Cheshire Cat's grin talking about his backup quarterbacks right now. What did he have to say?
Well, he was certainly pleased with the way that Arch Manning went about his business. Obviously, Trey Owens played very well as well. He shouted both of them out in his press conference. Coming into the week, he knew, and this was talked about with Quinn as well, he would only get about a series or two. Obviously, the quick interception in the first series then allowed Quinn to go for a second drive with the first team unit. But going into this, the plan all along was to get Arch Manning live team reps in a situation with fans in the crowd against a live defense. Of course, he wasn't hit. He was not technically a live player, but getting that extra reps, extra opportunities against a real defense was the entire plan this week and really this month leading up to the spring game for Sarkisian and the Texas offense. Of course, Arch put on quite the show, Bobby. It was really fun to watch. You never really knew when he might be done. I thought he, after that third quarter, he was probably done for the day. But to see him, again, kind of get that situational football, really valuable for him and his development. Sark was very praiseworthy, again, for not only the offensive line, but the playmakers, the quarterbacks. He thought, in his words, it was a very successful spring. Said that his Texas program certainly got better today and throughout the spring. One interesting note, he did address it. He does not like where the defensive line is right now depth-wise, and that's why we're certainly seeing a number of transfers on the on campus today. It didn't help that Vernon Broughton was at a wedding. Alfred Collins was on a pitch count early. That, you know, certainly he had a good idea or understanding of what Alfred brings to the table, getting these young guys extra opportunities there as well. But he definitely, you know, hit on it pretty hard. Texas is not happy with where they're at in the defensive line depth.
Well, they could be by the end of the week. They could be a little crappier when that happens based on what we're hearing. But we got to see what exactly happens with Jay Toya, the defense lineman out of UCLA, and Bill Norton, defense lineman out of Arizona, both on campus in Austin this weekend as potential grad transfers. Hey, it was good seeing guys like Bijan back. Marquise Goodwin lit up the fans a little bit. I thought he had a good comment to the fans today. Cameron Dicker was there dissing San Diego Mexican food. That was good compared to Austin Mexican food. I thought that was ripe. All in all, a good time. Hey, CJ, you posted this, and I'm going to agree with you. Maybe the defensive player of the game, Colton Vosick. Did Sark have anything to say about that or any of the other players?
Yeah, he circled Colton Vosick as a guy that stood out today. He actually mentioned that the last 2 weeks of spring football, he thought Colton was really coming along. And I think, Bobby, to that point, you know, it was really just about getting him healthy, you know, allowing him to play 100% without fear of a re-aggravation or tweaking something again, allowed him to kind of, you know, pin his ears back a little bit and get after the quarterback. Because for those that watched Westlake when it was Ethan Burke and Colton Vosick, I mean – prayers for the opposing quarterback, but the two of them really, really talented, great bend and length. Now you're really starting to see that athleticism for Vosick on display, and we certainly saw it today. He got the best of Andre Kojo and Jaden Chapman a couple times in the backfield very often. He also mentioned Parker Livingstone as a guy who might not have seen a lot of big plays today. I don't think he was, you know, too involved in the offense despite being on the field throughout the day. Mentioned he is a number a guy that has made a number of plays so far this spring as well. So a lot of good tape that Sarkisian said, yeah, we're able to go back, find the strengths, address the weaknesses, and move into the summer months. Today was a really good day for the Texas football program.
It was a great day for Texas football program, CJ, but not necessarily a great day for the defensive backfield and for the secondary and pass defense. Did Sark have anything to say about the way the secondary performed?
Yeah, he mentioned, of course, in the spring game, Bobby, and we've talked about it. Yeah, you know, when something good happens, something bad has to happen. And when it's the same team playing the same team, well, you can only take so much away from that. But he did mention, you know, some of those guys in the secondary. Of course, Jahdae Barron was not active today. Andrew Makuba, we know what he can do a little bit. Not necessarily on a drive-by-drive basis there today for the Longhorns. Manny Muhammad was limited today on a pitch count. So, yeah, of course, you'd like to get that cleaned up. But again, to Sarkisian's point about the playmakers making plays, I mean, that's what you brought Ryan Wingo in for. That's what, you know, you went out and you got Isaiah Bond for. These guys were able to get, you know, the best of the cornerbacks at the time. But I didn't hear Sarkisian mention, you know, a little bit of hesitancy with that defensive back group, maybe just an off day. But, you know, it's certainly not what we had been hearing so far this spring, in the sense that the defensive back, specifically the safety room, making a number of big time plays throughout the spring. So today might have been a one off. It, you know, certainly unfortunate for that group that it happened in front of a really impressive spring crowd. But for Sarkisian, again, I think it was more looking at that offensive group saying, yeah, they showed up today.
Yep. CJ, thank you for your time, buddy. I know you got to get back and get some recruiting stuff going on, guys. Still filing out of DKR recruits as well. Jerry's there right now. If you need some information, guys, go to ontexasfootball.com. Jerry, CJ, all of us be contributing to that. CJ, thank you so much, bud. We'll see you again soon, okay?
Thanks, CJ.
Absolutely, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right, you too, buddy. I want to mention, talking about recruiting, Rod, just across our desk, Jacoby Dixon. A 2027, so he's a high school freshman out of Brenham High School, home of a couple people you know, like Malcolm Brown, the big defensive tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Brenham, Texas, is on campus and has received a scholarship offer from Tashard Choice and Steve Sarkisian. Again, that is Jacoby Dixon. Oh, there's Bijan right there in the tweet. Hey, Bijan was playing up for the crowd today. Yeah. He ran out there with the kids onto the field. He turned around at one point and started jogging backwards, and there were kids all around him. I'm like, oh, please don't wreck your knee doing that, man. I was like, that's the last thing we want to see out there. But everybody was having fun with it.
Nice.
Rod, I think, you know, we're going to talk a lot more and kind of break down position by position in other videos, whatnot. But in your estimation, you know, success today overall, success in spring football, success on where the program is headed. Because it's, look, we talk about it all the time, but this is one of those mileposts, right, where, you know, we talk about it, but this was actually a marker where there were 40,000 people in the stands, wow. Right? And so, you know, it's put up or shut up time to a degree, right? We also have the transfer portal that's opening and closing quickly. So it's a mile marker for this team. And I've got to be honest, it's just continued positive momentum for Texas football. That's just ridiculous for me to say it. I'm almost a year and a half into saying that too, by the way, which is, that speaks volumes.
Yeah, it's tough. We always talk about, you know, the spring game, that it seems like there should be a winner and a loser. But it seems like it's just winners today, right, for Texas. How competitive the game was, came down to the wire. It came down to a Hail Mary. I can't remember a spring game that's been that competitive for Texas. And it's competitive because you have high-level quarterback play, and it didn't come from your starting quarterback. Usually right now, I can't remember a time where the starting quarterback from Texas at a spring game has the kind of game that Quinn just had. And yet there's not stress and anxiety, and there's not these and a very kind of down, morbid view of what's going to happen for Texas. No, Longhorn fans are optimistic because I think they know they Quinn has earned the trust of Longhorn fans in big games and how he's played. So they trust, and nothing like having a three-year starting quarterback, but you know the future is really bright because Arch Manning, his ceiling is potentially higher than a Quinn Ewers ceiling. And that's a guy that played in the college football playoff, a couple of plays and playing for a national championship last season. So, yeah, starting with the quarterbacks, man, the future is really bright for Texas, and they're going to score points. We know that. If you do want to have some concerns, it'd be about defense, but they're going to be able to score some points. That we know about this team and this offense. I think the only concern would be can they run the ball effectively when they want to, and can they play effective pass defense now? That would be my only two questions I have coming out of spring game, actually, right now. That's about
Got it
for me.
All right. Guamaro Sanchez asked, did y'all know if they used the mic and helmets today? I do not believe they did. I saw them signaling in plays, but I wasn't watching the live broadcast. They mentioned that at all, Rod?
They did. They mentioned it and talked about it. I'm not sure if they confirmed that they were using it, though. They just talked about it being a change in college football.
Yeah, they were signaling in plays on offense in particular. I know for a fact. Got a couple of super chats, and I'm going to ask you a final question before we get going here. This one from Juan. I told y'all Terry Joseph, not a good coach. Hell of a recruiter, but not a good coach. Same mistakes with secondary. We'll see. 817, Mr. Talk Too Much. Rod, the DBs need to be at everybody's throwing session. Third and 17, Trey Owens' first down was epic. 10 personnel and pony package. I saw it. That third down and third and long, he identified that pre-snap and knew where he was going with that ball pre-snap. Trey Owens did.
Trey Owens, yeah.
And I thought that was good. But here's the question, okay? This is – those comments are all good and stuff. The question I had for you is this. Was what we saw today a reflection of a good passing offense or a poor pass defense?
Oh,
you're the expert. You've been on the field. Was this a good passing offense or poor pass defense? Your call, Rod.
That's good. That's good. I'm trying to think about all these big plays in my head real quick now. I think about the coverage. I'm going to say right now, oh, man, and I'm a DB, so I'm uber critical from the defensive backside. Y'all know that. I'm a little biased from the way I'm looking at things. But I'm going to say right now it's probably, for me, more bad pass defense. I mean, the first big play of the game is a simple switch release, and Terrence Brooks, a veteran, follows Matthew Golden inside. It's cover three. You're playing zone while your eyes transfixed on the number one receiver. When you're playing zone, you're supposed to be keying on number two, and it's a simple switch release. I mean, think about the Ryan Wingo touchdown with both of them. One's just, was it Kobe Black playing bump and run coverage down there and just gets beat, simply beat over the top. And Ryan Wingo just simply just route ran him, you know, to the spot. There was the one, the touchdown to Ryan Wingo, the Xavier, what was it? Is it, was it Wingo or Thatcher maybe on that one? No, I think it was Ringo. The one with Xavier Fields to me is closing in.
Oh, that was Thatcher. That was Thatcher.
Okay, that was Thatcher. Thank you very much. It was Thatcher. He's closing. Guys, he's there. He is right there to make the play, and I don't know if his timing was off or the angle. You can watch him after the play. He does like this after the play. He's so upset with himself after the play. He goes, instead of like turning around to run to go. He does that because he's like, oh, I messed up. So for me, when I go, I'm gonna go back and rewatch it. I'm probably gonna see more technical mistakes, more technique issues, and more coverage busts. Then I'm going to see great wide receiver play. But those guys are really good. They're great. But that's the way I look at football. I'm a defensive guy. So I'm always think there's a way I could have stopped that. But that's just me looking at it. But like I said, I could be off about that.
All right, we're going to close it up here in a second with a little more. One final comment on our – oh, whoa. Shook JT Sanders' hands at Terry Black's.
Hey.
This is from RJ Not Yarbrough. This is Justin's brother, I believe. Nice meeting Bobby and Rod over at the Victory Lap earlier today. Nice to meet you, RJ. Thanks for coming out. Before we talk one last time on Arch Manning and see his stat line, Matt, our producers put up together so everybody gets a glimpse of it. I want to say thank you to our sponsors. They've been with us almost from the very start, and so we really appreciate them. Laura Baker, Keller Williams Realty, Laura at andyallenteam.com, 512-784-0505. If you're looking for an Austin area real estate expert to either list your home or you need help finding the right place for you and your family, because you're wanting to move to Austin, give Laura a shout, 512-784-0505. Also, thank you to Rick Vavro and his team at Austin Underground. If you need any kind of difficult underground installation, give Rick and his squad a shout, Austin Underground Inc., as well as our friend Andy Ludicky of My Perfect Franchise. If you're looking to start a new business, 404-973-9901, or visit him at Andy at My Perfect Franchise. Rod, a couple last things to go over here before we get out of here. I want Matt, our producer, to put up Arch Manning stats from today. And everybody, what do you think? Rod, I'm going to let you take them through this stat line. Tell them what you think.
Yeah, 19 of 25, just efficient, man. He's so efficient. And honestly, I can think of at least one drop out of those incompletions there. And there were some incompletions that were really, really impressive because they were balls that were right on the money. Three touchdowns. The only interception came on the Hail Mary at the end of the game. And 355 passing yards. And like I said, it was as impressive as any performance I've seen from a quarterback in a spring game. And it's a spring game. I get it. But I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback perform better than that in a spring game.
Rod, Colt, I think
what's the best Colt looked in a spring game? Or the best that BY looked in a spring game? Or the best Chris Sims looked in a spring game? We don't keep up with that, but I remember seeing them all, and I don't remember any of them looking that good.
Not as the second stringer.
Never. And they were
definitely not as the second stringer. I mean, yeah. I've been going to them for 30-something years now. Not as a second stringer ever. And so I think I'm with you on that. I think it's impressive right now that just where they're at as a whole as well. I want to say thank you also. I did forget one sponsor or a couple of sponsors that I want to mention. BKCW Insurance. If you're looking for business insurance, John Donovan at Longhorn Wealth Management, Allegiant Digital Marketing, Chad Markham and his team, and Fall Creek Estate Winery, as well as Jody Reynolds and the Carrot Concierge. We have some others as well. We appreciate you guys. Guys, thank you all so much for joining us. Rod and I really appreciated seeing you guys, not only today at the Victory Lap, but the folks that came out on Wednesday at the Posse. We're going to do more of that in the future because I think we all talked about it afterwards, and we're like, hey, we got to do more of this because it's just fun. Getting around, talking a little football, visiting with some folks that enjoy the same kind of stuff we do.
Amen.
All right. Hey, Rod, I appreciate you, buddy. We'll talk again tomorrow on the live stream if we don't talk again before that.
Yes, sir.
Wrap some other things up. But for now, for Rod Babers, for CJ Vogel, who joined us with Steve Sarkisian, for Jerry Hamilton, who talked a little recruiting and as well as immediate feedback, give us a shout. Please like and subscribe to this video and our channel. We'll have more either today, tomorrow morning, and the next couple of days. Just a little bit of a celebration today, I think, Amen. In DKR, Texas Memorial Stadium. Longhorns light up the scoreboard. I think Arch Manning was 6 of 8 on completing drives for scores. One of them ended in an interception last second. The other one was a doinked field goal from like 47 yards. He was efficient, to Rod Baber's point. Trey Owens looked better than a normal freshman as well. Steve Sarkisian has got the quarterback room rolling. Tashard Choice has the run. I mean, they got guys.
They got dudes.
I don't know how else to say it.
They got dudes.
All right, Rod. It's good, man. We could talk for hours. Take care of yourself, Rod Babers. You too, for our producer, Matt Hutchinson, we appreciate you behind the scenes, Matt. Everybody else, I hope y'all have a good time tonight. Hook 'em. Take care.
Hook 'em.